welcome back to the Realm of Dekonia. This is the legend that was born, the myth that was made, and the adventure that became as common as commoners. I'm joined today with my brother Sam, who is the avid note taker of the group, and today I'm happy to present recap number 3 for episodes 21 through 32. One of the two. I don't know yet. But go ahead and say hi,
32 and a half. Hey guys, how's it going?
So we're going to pick up with the beginning of Arc 3. This was after Demezio and his brother Nico and Silvio had that weird interaction of Nico trying to kill Silvio, or who you thought was Silvio. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys had went out in the morning after Silvio had told you not to go after your brother in the dark of night, right?
Yeah. I guess you could say that we didn't. Wasn't, I don't think, a deliberately disobey, but we did. He told us not to, and we did.
But it did lead you to the actual hideout that, I shouldn't say hideout.
Hideout sounds pretty mischievous for the...
I would say the forward Legion. Operating base or the... he's also in enemy territory.
Yeah.
So it led you to a bar that he was using.
The Strong Arm Arena.
Strong Arm Arena that the Boros... that the Boros had bought out for him to help as a base of operations in his attempt to do whatever his plan was, which in after a short minute you found out was to kill your not dad, the doppelganger Silvio, which has very interesting consequences now that we're moving forward with the game. But that's a different story for a different time to come.
Wait, what has consequences? That fact that we didn't kill him?
The fact that he's still alive.
My father told me not to kill him, right?
Right. I didn't say that I didn't lead you down this path. I'm just saying that there's interesting consequences now.
You want me to kill people. You don't want me to kill people.
I don't want you to kill a person in cold blood.
Make up your damn mind, Andy.
I didn't do nothing.
It is all or nothing. I can either kill everyone or no one.
Technically, I never told you to slaughter that poor man.
It's not my fault. His head was in the way of my blade.
Anyway, back to session 21. Let's see. This is also where Cockfight, one of our more popular episodes, happened. Well, it started off with, I think it was Phantasmo trying to disguise you as fucking Garfield. And that failed. And then it led into your brother Nico going fisticuffs against Aldous.
Yep. This is also the episode that George reached Squire level 2.
Yes, I forgot about that.
And I don't know when it was exactly that Rob said it, but I have a quote from Aldous of... One of my generals, Ferris Bueller, once said, he held a knife to my father's throat. I would love to hold a knife to my mother's throat.
My God. Robin his quotes sometimes.
General Ferris Bueller.
General Ferris Bueller. And the
he had one hell of a day off.
Yep. In the Altoras Empire. General. He's going to make an appearance at some point. I'll just probably have to remember. So here, Rob avidly states that Aldous did not cheat in this mano a mano fight with no magic. Mm-hmm. And that it was actually Nico who cheated. But I remember differently. I remember Aldous going down and then being brought back up with the help of Eros and his magic power. Well, and then I think,
this is for the very next session, session 22. Yeah. The very first sentence is, Aldous fights Nico, holds his own on zero HP. His eyes begin to glow red and white and goes into a rage. Aldous then eventually loses to Nico.
That's sad. Aldous lost. But he gained a power. Well, he didn't gain a power, but he apparently earned some favor with Aroas that is now never going to come to fruition. So, interesting note for this. Depending on how you guys did it, I totally was prepared for you guys having an all-out brawl with 20 different followers of
that would have been
of the Boros Legion. Four of them are healers, and four of them are battle mages called Reckoners. And the rest were soldiers. There was also Rexenbold, who has the stats of what's called a Battle Force Angel, minus the flying. And Nico has the stats of what's something called a Fire Fist. So they are pretty fucking powerful, especially at this time, because I think at this time you guys were still like level six. I think you guys were like level five or six.
I don't think we were even level six. I'd be surprised if we were level five at this point, because I think we ended up six with the last level of Paladin that I took, and we didn't get level seven until after the end of Nylea's Forest. So I think,
oh, that's true.
Like, we hit level six in Nylea's Forest somewhere.
I think you're right. So this was,
like, we might be only level four here or something like that.
But yeah, okay, so I have it here. Nico and Aldous fight KO. And the healers are standing by. So then you guys actually sit down and have a conversation with Nico.
After my leaf of farts.
Yep, after the leaf of farts. And you realize that maybe you not specifically, well, you as a player do, but maybe not Demezio. You realize that Nico's not actually a bad guy. You guys are just two different sides of the same coin, and you have differing opinions. But all in all, Nico shows up when he's called to help the family, mainly your dad. Not so much, because if you remember, Don Paduano is actually the one who called for him to come and help.
Yep, I got that in my notes. Nico says Silvio is a shapeshifter, and that Don Paduano hired him to investigate.
Yeah.
Says he's stationed in Epiphania. Epiphania.
Epiphania.
Yes, that's it. Silvio is believed to be held in Stormsold, and we need to play it off like nothing's changed since Shifter is able to read minds. Nico also lets it slip that apparently he saw Guinevere, my ex-wife, well, Demezio's ex-wife, and that Demezio has a daughter who is 35 years old, and her name is Giovanna. Says he fears that she is at a crossroads, and that's where you ended the session.
And I feel like you'll never forgive me for that.
I know, you dirty, dirty dog.
I'm a dirty dog. So what happens after that? Session 23. You guys, what the fuck happened? What is this? Oh, you guys are on the road. That's what happened. I think, wait, what session was it that you guys had your all-out brawl? That was session 23, right? Where you guys, where you and Ben? Yeah.
Yep.
Because
yep,
you guys got
notes on it.
Okay, that's why this says session 23 and 24 in my notes. Because somebody, Phantasmo, decided to get drunk and decided to sacrifice a certain friend of his to an all-powerful great old one who is completely evil. And I'm very confused. I'm still confused about how the fuck that happened. But
yeah.
This is also around the same time where Anthony and Rob had to take a short break from everything. So we had a couple people come in. I think Alex and Gio came in around this time, too.
Well, because Kyle also, came...
Oh, yeah. Kyle came in first. That's
oh, yeah.
Right.
Session 24 is when Kyle came in. And then I think it was a couple sessions later when Gio did.
Yeah, and I think, it correct me if I'm wrong, I think what wound up happening was somebody needed to be healed. I think you guys healed Phantasmo and sent him on his merry way, and you guys continued without him to the forest, traveling through the Athios Run, like past Alderheim, where you met Remy, everybody's favorite Hexblood, who God cursed you.
If I ever see that son of a bitch again.
If you, ever see that,
you think I'm a murder hobo verge now, or on the verge of it now.
Well, okay, Remy actually is totally deserving of it. And it's funny because I rolled for it and I wound up rolling on it. So this roll table, it used a D12, and 1 through 5 was bandits that show up. 6 to 8 was a traveling merchant named Remy. Remy carries strange magical trinkets with the that claims that they help people in battle or whatever. But he leaves out that all the items he has are cursed because of his patron.
That's terrible. Was he a warlock?
No. So Hexbloods have their
the sword
ancestry through hags. So he's basically like a hag.
Oh, I'm thinking Hexblade. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So essentially, you guys got cursed by a hag.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's also then, weird.
Go ahead.
I have it as here as go to the temple. Aldous is back. George passes out. Pray to Mogus. Kyle's nat 20s on a religion check. Mogus appears and says he can't cross that line. First roll of his ever entire D&D career, and he nat 20s on a religion check to summon a god.
Yeah, right. And that god could not help because not even gods cross the line of undeath. Oh, man. Well, I shouldn't say gods. I should say most gods.
Mm-hmm.
So some other things that were on this roll table. You find a shrine to Athreos. Leaving an offering will grant the party advantage on their next D6s. And we'll take whichever does not match. Oh, so for this, I think I had it be so that we all rolled the D6. And if you matched me, then you got an encounter. I think that's what I did with this one, if I recall. And basically the thing for Athreos was you ignore an encounter for a day, which super nice. I also have one werewolf albino favored by Millar. So at this point, Rob had talked to me about possibly becoming a werewolf for all this. So I had this in here as a setup for that, just in case. And this is actually where Hottie came from, because this was where Rob left. So I stopped with that and I took this small little thing I had and I transformed it into Hottie.
I can't believe I totally forgot about Hottie until you just said that.
Yeah. So Hottie came along a little bit later, but his roots date really far back.
Yeah.
I actually have it in here that originally he was going to just attack like the closest person and then run off because he was hurt and scared, like if anyone approached him, but it actually kind of worked out the way it did in the forest, but we'll get there. And then I had a couple of roll tables for like weather for travel, and I had a couple roll tables for like other encounters. I think this was when you guys were first entering the
forest.
Like that was my idea. I wound up scrapping it and redoing it later on. But this one is terrifying. This roll table.
Really?
Yeah. 2 T-Rexes battling each other.
Oh God. I would like to sit and watch and then wait till there's one left.
Yeah. An iron scale Hydra, which is a nasty Hydra from, what's it called? From Theros. Very nasty. Very, very, very nasty. Nylea Shrine and a band of guardians that recognize George that lead him to the home of George, or lead him to his home.
Oh, that would have been really nice.
So this actually kind of changed a little bit. Do you remember?
We ended up meeting them.
You wound up meeting them. So like I said, I scrapped it and kind of redid it a little bit. So this was actually designed to happen much earlier, and the forest was not actually meant to take 5 sessions, but everyone was enjoying it. So I was like, yeah, we'll just We'll just keep going and see what happens. Also, you guys kept rolling like fucking shit.
Yeah. Well, and which, Geo kept wanting to grind XP.
Yes. But I think he's past that. Also, as a note, for my note for session 24, on this roll table, a 20, young Emerald Dragon and Sapphire Dragon fly overhead and roars are heard. The party must successfully make a stealth check against its perception, which the perception check for the dragons is at disadvantage due to the thick forest. I.e. the very beginning of Siemeril and Vusen.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. And
yeah.
So that was what led you to create Siemeril and Vusen?
Yeah. And then it led me into, because I wanted this forest to give off like a land before time, like super crazy vibe, which I think I kind of did mm-hmm. in one sense. And then as we were through the forest, I was also working on the journal with Julian. So I added things and made things like match up. Like, I think the first time you guys came across a voidling, do you remember that black sphere tentacle thing?
Oh, yeah.
So the first time you guys came across that, I think I described it as like the land around it was dead and or dying. So I actually took that and used it in the journal and amplified it. And basically you guys originally, I think I just described it as like a small area, but I took it and said like, this is a large area. Like there are many voidlings here. Like this place is infested with voidlings. It's kind of like the start of the corruption kind of thing.
Are we all done with Julian's journal, by the way?
Yes, it is done.
Okay.
The first, large story arc is the Julian arc. And now the second one is the Agony arc.
Mm.
So this arc will end with the battle with Agony. And then we'll kind of go from there as far as the third one, depending on what you choose to do.
Are Julian and Agony brothers?
No.
Mm.
No. Julian, you know, died on his 200th birthday.
Yeah.
And it's been confirmed that Agony has been alive for... Right? Yeah, he's been alive for... I think Bill confirmed that it's been a couple thousand years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Agony is old. So, and he's fucking powerful. And nobody seems terrified of him for whatever reason.
I am. I definitely am. But, no, definitely not going to go teleport myself there.
And
strike up a deal.
that's something for another day. But anyway, so after this, my note starts off. Anthony and Rob are now gone. So this is where I had to scrap that idea of the forest originally, because this is the... We're on session 25, and this is the end of your long-winded travel through Alderheim, and now you're at Telemore. I ended with you guys looking up at the cliff, the cliffside that leads up to Telemore, and then I started at session 25 with bodies were being tossed off the cliff. You guys run up the cliff, the walkway on the cliff that zigzags back and forth, and there you find Talasha in all of her wonderful glory, riding on top of a hydra, which...
Called Hector.
And that Hydra is actually inspired from the Hydra from the original roll table. So that's like, it's just a little peek behind the DM screen. If I come up with something, probably I'm going to recycle it if I don't wind up using it, because I put time into it. I might as well do it and use that idea and expand on it.
Yeah.
Which happens a lot more than I really care to admit. Anyway, note for Hector. He is void touched, but only his teeth will infect others. Interesting. Oh, yeah, that played a huge role in this, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you guys got bit.
Yeah.
You and Zor. You and Zor got punished hard in this arc because of the void poison and the dread counters. You guys got fucked.
Yeah, I was getting real, real frustrated with that.
Not my fault.
Whose fault is it then? The Hydra named Hector.
Yes, it is Hector's fault.
And we also meet the Fellowship of Stormshold.
Yes, the Fellowship of Storm's Hold, and that was a that party solely I made as an homage to some of our older games.
Mm-hmm.
The first campaign of the podcast, specifically with the our old characters,
Belmont, Gadriel, and Merrick.
Yep, Belmont, Gadriel, and Merrick, and then I also added Anthony's old character,
Rango.
Rango. Yep, and actually works out hilariously because do you remember the backstory that we had planned for Belmont and Gadriel?
Yeah, that they were brothers.
They were brothers, and I was a tiefling.
Yeah, and they were,
and you were. So it actually works out amazingly well because they are they're half Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
That's just funny.
Just like Finn.
Finn is a full Nephilim. They are like Julian.
Oh shit! For some reason, I was thinking Julian was full.
Actually, yeah, they are exactly like Julian. Because Julian's parents were an Azamar and a tiefling. Yep. So what
aren't they going to be kind of a big deal in the world too then?
I mean, that's a good point. That's a good question.
Because Julian was like a big fucking deal. And
Julian was a big fucking deal.
Two of them in the same adventuring party.
So here's the thing. Just because you have the bloodline does not mean it always expresses.
Oh.
Yeah, so it kind of depends on... It also depends on the person. So, like, Julian was exposed at a very young age to gods and deities, and he was chosen... He wasn't just a half-Nephilim. He was a chosen prophet. So he had both going on for him. Whether he was a prophet because he was a half Nephilim or what, whatever, that's besides the point. But Julian was also around for 200 years before the other two even showed up. Before Belmont and Gadriel showed up.
Yeah.
So, because I think they are in their 30s, roughly. 20s, 30s, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So they have not had the training. They have not had the exposure. So currently, they have the potential to be similar to Julian in one sense, but also it depends on their path in life and where that takes them. And they certainly could be powerful allies for you in this upcoming battle or war if you choose to find them again, which might not be a bad idea. Just a thought. It'd be interesting. I would totally make you play Gadriel again. Like, role play him. Just role play him.
And have Rob play Merrick?
Yes. I totally would do that. And I will have Anthony play Rango, and I will play Belmont, and the other ones don't have characters yet, so
yeah,
we'll leave it at that.
Well, what's interesting is, like, that was the first episode without Rob, and we meet his old character.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I had it in there
in a town based on his old character before.
Oh
that.
My god, you have no idea how livid I was that was the first session he missed, or that he was going on leave, because Tullamore was designed based off of his old character, Michael Davenport, literally the founder.
He ever went back and listened to it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if he did, but oh man, I was like, Rob, can you just wait for a session?
Just one, like, session.
You'd really like this next place coming up. And he, I mean, whatever. He needed a break. I get it. It's whatever. But looking back, I was like, god damn it. Like, this place was perfect for Rob. He would have gotten a kick out of this, but c'est la vie. Because I don't know if you remember from the old game, so from the very first game I DM'd.
Yeah, he worships a god, Tullamore.
Yeah, that was a total clusterfuck, and I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. He worshipped the god Tullamore, Michael Davenport, who was a cleric. That was Rob's old character. And Michael Davenport had died in a battle between Bahamut and Tiamat. I think he had died to Zariel, who rose from the first level of hell. And he was brought back to life by Bahamut. And because of that, suffered like a huge impact to like his stats. I think I told Rob, like, yeah, his dex needs to go down to like -2, because his dex was -1, if you remember.
Yeah.
And Rob was like, well, he's just basically unplayable now. I'm like, you can still play him. You can play with a negative dex character. You're just, I understand that you don't want to because it sucks, but I mean, yeah, I think he also was like telling me I should like come up with something for Michael because it's not fair that Michael died and all this other stuff. But I just look back and laugh at that game. Anyway, so yes, you get to Tullamore. You meet Twig for the first time. Everybody's favorite Twig, which I should have that backstory done sometime soon if Rue lets, if my baby ever lets me get sleep. And you meet Michael Davenport, the eighth?
The high priest and high barkeep.
Yep, because in Tullamore, it's one and the same. And he's also the adjudicator of the town. So he had multiple hats in that place.
And Lucarth, the captain of the Forest Guard.
I forgot about Lucarth. Yeah, you guys, after the battle with the Hydra and you guys became voice poisoned, you also had a drink off to try and cure whatever this was. You took so many alcoholic potions. It was funny. I'm surprised you guys didn't die. But when you met Twig that first night, that was also when Geo came into the picture and revealed his necromancy and tried. So the next morning after that, so you guys, I don't know if you remember, you rose a zombie from the dead. He brought it back up top. And
I
then
touched
let
the teleportation scroll again and got another drug counter.
Yep. And so he sent the zombie in to get whatever dread counter thing was on the floor, but that sparked a riot and a huge investigation and ultimately led to the Leonin that you so graciously murdered in the last episode, tracking you guys and hunting you down while you guys were gone in the forest for a week. And that's what started the lovely, lovely necromancy bit. And I don't know if you also remember this, Sam. Do you remember Kyle's distraction attempt with Twig?
I don't think I actually have that written down.
So, Geo wanted to go to the graveyard, but the graveyard was right next to the main courtyard, which was right next to the main chapel slash whatever else it was. Mm-hmm. The chapel, tavern, drinking bar. Place, whatever you want to call it. So in the middle of broad fucking daylight, after sleep, Geo says, Kyle, go distract Twig for me so I can raise the dead. And Kyle says, okay. And he takes Twig and just starts, I can't remember if it was yelling or laughing or dancing or something. It was somewhere along those lines and just caused a huge ruckus in the town square so that Geo could raise the dead back. But Geo then told the dead to stay put for 8 hours and to come find them later.
Yes. Yeah.
You remember what happened next? The countless sessions of where are my zombies?
Yes,
where are my zombies?
Are they here yet?
Are they here yet? No. Are they coming? I don't know.
I think you made a good point. At one point you were like, their movement speed is not as fast as you guys. Cause they're all dead. Or undead.
And on top of that, you guys had to walk through a solid wall that was manned by two guards in order to get into the forest. And Geo told them to follow him. And there was no other ways into the forest because you're in a mountain pass.
So, pretty impressive that that they even managed to make it.
Make it where?
to us. Didn't they end up making their way to us eventually?
No.
Oh, they never did. Oh, I thought they did. Oh, you know what? Never mind. I'm mistaking it with his current zombie family.
Oh, yes. No, those zombies, those original ones never made it because they just fucking walked. This is how I picture it. Wait for 8 hours. Okay, they dig out middle of the fucking night. The bar next to them is still going hard and there's drunk people everywhere. They just start moseying over their clothes, but they're still skeletons. So like the clothes are like super baggy and their skeletons are just like half smiling. And then the jaw just falls over, like starts creaking. And they're just continuing to like shamble through the town, walking past all the major businesses and then arrive at the gate, which is heavily guarded. And they just die. Like that's, I mean, granted, it was Gio's first time like rolling with D&D, and I it's a funny story to tell because I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Like, you really think I'm just gonna let that fly?
Yeah.
Like, no offense to Gio if he's listening, it was just a funny story, and I think it was a good learning experience for him about how the world works. And had some. Fun did have a fun side story for him until somebody beheaded that story.
Mm-hmm. Or did I just expedite, throw gasoline on the fire?
Well, considering I am now planning a gladiatorial arena for you assholes, you probably expedited it for all of you.
Wait, why a gladiatorial arena?
I think I said too much. Just know that your battle royale is coming, Sam.
Fantastic.
So, let's see. What else happens here? Talasha has one of her famous speeches. Basically says, come find me in the forest whenever you feel like finding me. Tells Hector to devour you all and then teleports away. You have to deal with a few Simic hybrid flyers, which were picking people up and throwing them off the cliff. And I love how I have a note here. If Twig survives the battle, he could act as a guide for the party, so long as they want to take him.
That's funny.
Little do I know that you guys fucking love Twig.
Yeah. I was going to say, unbeknownst to you, the party wants to make Twig a new member.
Literally. Oh my god. I did not realize how popular Twig was gonna be. Like, I knew that you guys like Twig from when I played him, like in a past campaign. Like you and Rob, I don't even think Anthony was there. But like you and Rob, I knew liked him because it's just silly. Like you guys find my high pitched voice funny, like him and Poe. But I did not expect everybody to fall in love with Twig.
Yeah.
Like, I did not expect that. I think this is also around the time where Kyle had that frustration that I'm just going to call it sexual frustration with Twig because I don't know how else to describe it because he just wanted to fucking murder Twig and I don't know why. Like every other text message was, I want to murder Twig. Damn it, Kyle. And then Rob actually tried to murder Twig.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, so this is the Nylea's Forest dungeon after that. After you guys meet with Twig, you travel. He kind of takes you around. Gio tries to find items, but he was told like three separate times that all of the items go to the forest guard to help defend the nation. And he still wound up finding some bows eventually. But after that, you guys get into the forest. It's fucking creepy as shit. You feel this ominous presence over you. And you hear a sound in the wind that says, get out. In this very deep tone. Kind of setting the mood for for the rest of the forest. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea who said that?
No.
That was Hyman Seer that said that.
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah. Because he was under control of Talasha by that point.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, Hyman Seer has been under Chalash's control for a long time.
Wow.
I think I even mentioned it in Julian's journal.
Like he's been under control by Hearst since Julian was alive?
Yeah, even before. Where did I put it? That is under history, the Ballad of Julian Maxim. Let's see. So there was a section of the last chapter that says, with Teferi saved, we began our plan to return to the forest to slay Talasha once and for all. However, as things tend to go in this life, it did not go as planned. Talasha herself was nearly defeated, but as the fight neared its end, an unexpected development occurred. Enter the man at the center. He entered through a black portal with black clothes adorned, green and gold trimmed cape, a hood covering most of their head, blah, blah, blah. This was the Emperor, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So basically a repeat of what happened to you guys. The final battle with Talasha, and then the Emperor comes in.
Yeah.
So there was essentially like this section that basically mentioned they tried to go back to the forest in order to stop Talasha from controlling Hyman Seer, which was creating the void energy and sucking out the life of the forest, in order to create more void stone. But it was just so yes, it's been a long time. A very long time.
That's crazy. So what episode are you on now?
This is episode 26 to 31 is okay. The next note that I have. And this is the dungeon with my roll table.
Yeah, because I was going to say, in episode 28 is when we meet Bomber.
Yes. So that's a whole other interesting side note, which I'll get to in a minute. So I just want to run through Nylea's dungeon, or Nylea's forest dungeon. So this was probably the weirdest thing I've ever had to do as far as being a dungeon master, as far as setting up like this massive forest dungeon. And I'm still very perplexed by it and how I feel about it. Like, I felt it did good, but I also felt it did bad because it definitely drove home the point that it was a dangerous place.
Yeah.
But I felt like I could have done the travel a little bit better in a sense, like traveling through the forest. Like, my original idea I have here was it was going to take 5 days to traverse the forest. And you would have to roll every day, like I did, in order to make up that progression. So the goal was to hit 5 days. So on a successful day, you guys would travel at a pace of one. So you would...
It's kind of like Tomb of Annihilation.
Yeah, so you would travel for 1 day and you would be on time. You would be on track. And every failure, you would either be pushed back or you would only go half a day. So it would increase the amount of time that it would take to travel.
Oh.
And then I think I made it a little bit too a little bit too hard, or not hard, but harsh.
Long.
Too harsh and too long on that side of the scale. Now that I'm looking back at it, I mean, this dungeon, it took 5 sessions. So, I mean, it was designed to be a big dungeon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not all bad. I think the Port Zelver dungeon took 2 episodes. For example, which was designed to be like a smaller dungeon in that sense, but still, I think I could have probably chopped this down by a session or two. So some interesting things that I had here that were never really done. There is a puzzle roll table or puzzle encounter table that I had for any like helpful encounter that I wanted to roll, or if I wanted to break up the monotony of the constant combat, I could use one. I had one that was clones, so you guys would fight yourselves.
Sure.
Often decided not to do that one because I didn't feel like getting a copy of your character sheet.
Yeah, that'd be a lot on you for your part.
Yeah, but it would have been interesting. Then I think what I did use was getting stuck in the loop. So you would like continuously like walk over and over and over again in the same space. Quick mud, which I did, or like quicksand, I did do that one. I did do the one where you had to enter in a graveyard. Do you remember that?
No, why don't I not remember that?
I think I had it designed to last longer than I actually did, because this one, you enter a graveyard full of dead scouts. They are zombies and skeletons. They pose no real threat. However, Twig pleads with the party to not harm them and protect them while he performs a ritual to send them to rest. So basically, he wanted to give them their last rites and send them on their merry way.
I don't know why I do not have any recollection of that.
Maybe I thought you did it, or maybe I thought I told you guys to do it. And I had this say, you have to survive a 5 to 10 rounds. I realized, like, looking back, that is fucking long, and I should not have done that for that long. And I think I realized it in the moment. If I did do it, I think I realized it. Because it doesn't make much sense for it to be that long. I think in my head, the way I was looking at it, like, it's a ritual, so it takes 1 minute to do. But that would have been very long. What else did I have here? I had Mad Monkey Mist.
Oh, God.
That would have been a fun encounter.
Because I would have been the one that got it, and I would have been having a dread counter, avoid poison, and mad.
I also made this prior to the void poison thing and the dread counter thing. So I did not expect you to have all of those. I was kind of hoping it would be spread throughout the party, but
just lay it on me.
You and Kyle took the brunt of it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what else did I have? I had a riddle door from the video game Fable. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Big talking doors.
Yep.
So behind is a cave full of treasure. The door closes once the treasure is touched, and the only way out is another much harder riddle as the face of the door shifts from the outside to the inside. The only thing is that if you get the door, if you get the answer wrong 3 times, the door will eat you.
Oh my God.
I was really excited to use that one, but I never really found like a good time to use it. So I just kind of like a
mimic,
left it.
Like it eats us like a mimic, or is it
kind
like
of, a... kind of in one sense, it would have been like similar to a mimic, KO. But also different. Yeah.
Yeah, we got in this fight with this door and got our asses kicked.
Right. So here's a couple things. So this roll table that I'm looking at right now, I think I used pretty much all of them in this. And it harkens back to the original roll table I talked about earlier. Like it mentions the Cimmeril and Vusin, but it goes into more depth about their backstory. As far as the like seeking out Hyman Seer and all that stuff, it talks about the treant that you met named Lyfear. Do you remember him? Right before
who gave us the bark skin?
Yep, that's in here. Because I knew it was going to be a hard dungeon, so I wanted to give you a helpful encounter right before that. Then there's also talks about the band of centaurs and satyrs. I think it was just a couple satyrs that you met with that shambling mound encounter.
Yep.
So that shambling mound encounter was actually a different one, but I wanted to speed up the dungeon, so I combined it with this one. you meet a couple people to help you along the way, because I felt that you guys would never have gotten there without them. Especially after that, because I think this was also around the time that George left, or Logan left, I should say. This roll table also has Hottie, who I dove more deeply in with, and Slads, and a Void Scar.
Oh,
this also has two T-Rexes battling each other in it.
Yeah.
You guys just are lucky that you missed that one.
This Void Poison doesn't sound so bad after all.
Right. This roll table that I grabbed from some website, it's fucking scary, dude. Like, this shit is fucking scary.
Whoever made that needs to go get some help.
And I think I wound up using, like, the way I was trying to use it was, like, I would roll for something, and then I would go back up and see, okay, is there anything that I already wrote that, like, kind of fixed with this? So I could have, like, something interesting happen.
Yeah.
There is something for a unicorn. There was a result for a unicorn, which I was like, that's interesting. There's a result for a giant wasp. That sounds fucking horrible. And if I ever see a giant wasp, I'm never leaving my fucking house. There's stuff for owl bears, giant badgers. That's fucking terrifying. A giant badger. That's a thing. Whatever. Obviously, displace your beasts and a giant ape and a venom troll.
Yes. Yeah, I have in here too that in session 28 that Zor met up with an old orc friend named Zog.
Yes, that was completely off the cuff.
Zog instantly attacks me.
Yep. That is nowhere in my notes. And I completely made it up on the spot because I was funny. Like, because I remember exactly what happened. I used the roll table and it landed on orcs. Wow. It's 2d4 orcs. And I was like, huh, Kyle's an orc. This is interesting. So I went with it. Zog was the first name I came up with because I was like, Grog. So I like bounced off the name Grog. It was just like, I don't know, Zog. Sure. And he instantly attacked you because you were an elf. But also,
he says I was an elf that looked like, it was an elf that looked like me, but female, that attacked his family.
Yep. And this was where I laid the seeds of destruction for Giovanna. And if future Giovanna is listening to this, I apologize. You were 2 at the time, and I wanted to pull on your dad's heartstrings. Because it's the easy way to do it. What else? There's some couple dreams that happened here, too. Interesting enough, Zor and Melkor had a dream that was very, very similar. This was also where... this was... Zor having like a PTSD dream where he was basically like back in the Savage Lands during the slaughter and was re-experiencing it. But Melkor, I started the dream off the same way, but his dream went a much darker where Hel, the Bane of the Undead, came in and basically told him to knock the fucking shit off. Otherwise she would be pissed. And
still not seen those repercussions yet.
Oh, I know. I very much know, and there's a reason for it and why that's happening and not, or not happening. And I'm trying to push a certain person into, not you, into a very specific place that I've had planned for a while, and I've hinted to him every time I see him, and he still hasn't done it, Anthony. Granted, he hasn't really had much of a chance, but at the same time, I'm like, have this planned. Do it. Which I think would be an interesting thing to do, and I need to get back into fucking with Geo a little bit about this, with this whole undead thing.
Yeah.
I want to, but I'm kind
of stuck. Perfect time since we just... killed his bounty hunter.
Yeah, right.
Warrant holder.
I had a
dream where I was in front of Julian's manor. Yep. Went inside, saw Julian in the chair. His eyes rolled into his head, and he begins to speak to the gods. I'm in the ethereal plane with him. He tells me that Finn is coming back, and that we won't survive the final battle without him.
Which now makes sense.
Yep. In that he has had many fights with Talasha in the past and mentions Talasha's boss. So, did Anthony tell you he was coming back at this point?
Yes. Well, he had mentioned that he wanted to.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of sowing the seeds it. Because I knew that I wanted to have Anthony come back as Phantasmo for multiple reasons. One, because it was a character that he really liked, and I wanted to keep exploring it with him because I liked where I had my plan set for him. So I wanted to keep going with it. And this was also where I started mentioning like the idea of the multiverse idea, or like the multiple timelines, and how Julian can like see into he doesn't see the future. He sees the possible timelines, and he has like, so he's not always right because he doesn't know which timeline is most accurate, but it happens. Which is why some of his letters don't make sense looking forward.
It's like Mantis from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Or Doctor Strange with the Time Stone.
Yeah.
So there is lots of fun, interesting things with Julian that I could pull off now with that. If I choose to, but we're kind of like taking a step back from Julian at this point and focusing more on the bigger threat.
Yep.
But this is where I think we also had a little bit of downtime. You guys went to the Seder Hole and had a great time, a fantastic time. That was all off the cuff as well. Don't have any notes on that anywhere. Off the cuff. And wound up trading mushrooms for gold or something. I don't even fucking know what happened that night. But it was a good reprieve. And you finally made it to Hymenseer, where you guys had that insane battle.
Well, don't forget, there was that abandoned house. Zor pounds through spider web to make it a hole in the house.
God, that's right.
Tons what of spider was in web there? Fought, two outer caps, blew up with a fireball by Melkor.
Yeah.
But then there was something in there that we were really pushing for, and I can't remember what it was that we had to leave.
I think it was like some magic. I think I described it as was like full of treasure, like full of not like gold just laying about the room, but like it looked like really interesting, like antique items kind of thing with some magic vibes being given off. But the whole place was on fire and you guys weren't sure how to put it out. So you just left.
Episode 30, said when we fought the Shambling Mounds, it says one of them engulfed Bomber. Bomber went down. Shambling Mound kept growing. Bomber died and Twig revivified him. So does that actually mean that Finn had died and Twig revivified him?
Yeah. Huh.
Interesting.
Technically. I don't think Anthony knows that.
No.
So that's a whole other thing that I wanted to talk about too, was the way that worked out was perfect.
Oh, so perfect, yeah.
And I did not know that was going to be Alex's last session until the day of, because he did not get back to me until the day of.
Yeah.
And I also found out that it was Anthony's returning like the night before. So I was like trying to plan how I was going to introduce Anthony back into this fight because you guys needed him. And then I got that text and I was like, isn't Anthony's backstory like a disguise or something? Like he has a false identity. So I was like, huh, interesting. And he has Gunther. What's Gunther with a secret identity? Maybe a construct?
Oh my God.
Like bombers?
Yeah.
And I was like, but what about that flying thing? And I said, I already established that Phantasmo has a tattoo that like peels off of him and can fly around.
Yeah.
I was like, huh. And they would never expect it because he was a dwarf and Phantasmo's a tiefling. Never would have expected it.
And because Bomber had like animals growing in his beard and he was dirty and smelly and filthy.
But that made it even better.
Right. That's something you would never expect.
And going back to the Seder Hole, Finn is always fucking horny.
Yeah.
Alex showed one sign of horniness towards that other satyr, and it works so well with Phantasmo's character. Like, yep. it was perfect. It was like a moment where Phantasmo shined through that was completely by accident and only happens in the, like, looking back.
So also, did you know that, so the whole thing with the satyr hole, though, was about Hottie's backstory.
Yes. Hottie had a backstory where he, so Hottie is a albino werewolf. He is a very
white werewolf.
Great white werewolf. So he is a huge motherfucker that literally pushed Zor like a fucking rag doll, which I thought was hilarious. And basically established him as a badass. So
he's Twig's friend.
He is Twig's friend because Twig and him have gone on several adventures together. Hottie was basically overrun in his own, what are they called, packs? So he was the alpha of the pack, and he was pushed out by this newcomer. And basically the newcomer was destroying the thing, and the newcomer was tearing apart the pack, and then Hottie tried to reclaim it, but was forced out because this newcomer was too powerful, cheated, whatever it was. It doesn't necessarily matter. And you guys had promised him that you would go back and help him if he helped you first. But you never got the opportunity to, mainly because Twig settled the debt for you.
Mm-hmm.
Twig and the rest of the Forest Guard settled the debt because Hottie was kind and friendly with the Forest Guard.
Talk about another person to add to the group when we fight the big bad.
I'm introducing these characters to you guys for a reason. I mean, it's up to you if you choose to go back and get them or not.
A list of good characters or something.
All the interesting characters that would possibly be of use to you.
Well, we could just use your notes. Because you know I have them in my notebook somewhere. It's just spread across like 50 pages.
And if you listen to the Bell TikTok, you will realize that Bell might not be telling the truth about something.
Bell?
Mm-hmm. Because at the very end, he notes that he settled down in the Republic and created the pocket dimension.
The ghost of the skull. He keeps saying that he's trapped there.
Yeah.
So he can leave at any point. Huh.
That's theoretical. I don't know. He might be truthful. He might not be able to leave, because if he leaves, then the whole pocket dimension might collapse. Or he might say that he can't leave because people are scared of him. Or he might be saying that he can't leave due to legal reasons. Like, maybe the Republic is only allowing him to operate as a business owner. Because
maybe he can't leave because the guy that I killed had a warrant for his arrest. And now I just killed him and now he can go freely.
That's certainly possible. There's tons of people. Do you remember the Stampede Brigade with Barry and Trollgar and everybody?
Yeah,
they're still out there. Don't know how well put together they are, but they're still out there.
I want to rerun back into Gidriel and Belmont though, and Melkor, and not Melkor, Merrick.
I wanted you guys to run into them in Storm's Hold, but that was a really quick, like, short thing.
Yeah.
You didn't spend much time there, so it didn't really happen. But that is for next recap, and I see we're getting close to an hour long, and I will let that go. So to recap, y'all got in a fist fight between each other multiple times, and then you went to Nylea's Forest, fucked shit up, killed Talasha, well, maimed Talasha. I shouldn't say killed, because you don't know if you killed him. You summoned the dragons, Siemero and Vusin. That was an important note. But apparently summoned them too late after they told you not to summon them too late, but never told you when to summon them. And that's how it led to the dragon fight. And then Agony showed up after the big battle with Hymenseer and almost destroyed everything, but he did kill Hymenzir. So a couple things that I wanted to glance over there that we didn't get to. But with that said, everybody, thank you so much for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed the recap. I know we kind of bounced around a little bit, but overall, that's kind of what you missed. And if you want more information, as always, go check out the original episodes that are posted on our Spotify or any of the other platforms that we are on.
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher.
That. And if you want interesting stuff on our TikTok page, I just released a Bell backstory breakdown. So if you're interested in Bell and that lovely ghost fiend of him, whatever Bell is, go check out our TikTok. It's at Tales from Taconia. Should be the pinned video there. All right. Have a good night, everybody.